Hello and welcome to the Buffering Podcast. Today is Wednesday, March 21st, 2012, of course, and we are here in the Frank Oz Memorial Studio. He's not dead.
He's just awesome.
Thank you, Andrew. And we tonight are here, this is Minneapolis, Minnesota, by the way, and I'm here introducing the show to you. My name is Adam Erdman, and with me, as always, is Dan Whalen.
How's it going, guys?
And we, before we introduce our guests, I want to make sure you know about the website, bufferingpodcast.com. You can listen to our episodes there, and that's where you'll find all our bonus content and all that good stuff, games and witty banter and all of that silliness. And then we're also on Twitter at Buffer Podcast, and we're also on Facebook at the Frank Oz Memorial Studio. And we're also on Stitcher, as you may know. Oh, don't mind my phone. It's kind of a Dalek.
The Dalek.
But anyway, yeah.
That's wait. I can fix this. I'm ready.
Aha!
There you go.
Well
there
done.
Go.
Well done. Don't have to worry about those Daleks anymore. You can now hear our show while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. On-demand news, talk, and more on your mobile phone. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Available on your iPhone, iPad, Android phones, and beyond. Downloading is easy. Go to Stitcher.com or check out your app store. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
That's option one, isn't it?
Yes.
I've never read that one before, so I was listening. I was like, okay, so it's one or four.
Actually, this is example two.
Was it?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
A little shout out to our friendly friends over at Stitcher.
Which you can find them on Twitter as well, at Stitcher, S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. May I have my phone, please? All of the news is on there.
Yes.
While you introduce our...
There we go. Guests. So we are here with two returning guests tonight. Very excited to have them on the show. We have Andrew Nelson.
Hey, guys.
Nice wind-up for that.
Oh, thank you.
And Jen Diethart.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Following right after Dan Scarif was here, so now we've got double decantus.
It's true.
That's right.
One of these days we'll both be here at the same time, and then we will outnumber the revelers in the room.
Maybe I'll have Emily here for support or something like that.
Fair enough.
We don't have five mics.
That's true, but she's loud enough.
That's what I'm worried about.
Right.
We'd all need headphones to protect ourselves.
She can be the fact checker, because I can't remember what it is now, but there was something last week that I'm pretty sure was incorrect.
Ooh.
In Movie Bluff that no one caught.
Somebody got away with something?
Yes, they did. I believe it was The Prestige versus The Illusionist.
No, that was 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Two weeks ago, okay.
Because Dan caught on to that one.
Oh, that must have been
Dan Scarif.
Before I got to near the end of
episode. That was 2 weeks ago. But I did catch it as well and posted it on Facebook.
Okay, I missed that.
On Facebook, I sent a message to Adam and our guests for that week saying, by the way, totally screwed up, or, bluffed everyone out of it. It's just, I had just enough confidence that no one said a word.
Yeah.
Or me, until I realized afterwards, like, wait, no, he wasn't. But of course, I wasn't going to say anything because that was saving me the game.
That
was one of those screaming in my car moments where I was like, but no, how does no one know this? That's not right.
Because they came out right at that same time.
They came out at the same time, and it's like majestic and prestige. Same kind of feel to those words, you know?
At the same time, though, that is what makes Movie Bluff a great game that you can get away with.
This is true.
It's a game of acting. You really?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It does come into play. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But too bad we're not playing it today.
Right.
I have been excited for 3 days sitting waiting by a microphone so that we could play the Leonard Maltin game again.
So excited.
Because
meanwhile at Frontier they're like, where's Dan?
Where did Dan go?
I don't think I've seen him for 3 days. Where is he?
Oh, so excited. And everyone turn off your phone since Adam's already
done.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard it, but my phone had a little Dalek moment. Exterminate! No more, though.
Which is a great transition to my first story that I have that's related and not related at the same time, to the point where...
I was kind of hoping it would go off, actually.
Well, there you go.
Please continue.
So they are in, what, the production for the 8th series?
Seventh.
I have no idea. I just knew it was around there. So they're in the production of 7th.
For Doctor Who.
For Doctor mm-hmm. Who.
Yep.
With Matt Smith as the Doctor. And they have announced a new companion who will be on the show to replace Karen Gillan and, was it Rodney? No, I can't think of his name now.
I think it was either. Rodney something.
It's Darville. I just can't. They didn't mention his first name. That makes it harder.
I was actually
starts with an A, but I don't remember for sure.
Yeah, I was actually just looking at the.
No, because it wouldn't be Rodney because it's Rory. Yeah. So it's.
No, well, it was a very British name. It was like not
Reginald.
I don't remember. It was British.
So realistically, Amy and Rory from. From Doctor Who will be making an exit in this next series, which is unfortunate because Amy Pond was the reason I watched the first episode. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of sad that they're taking her away from me. Arthur Darville. Just found it somewhere else.
See,
it's
Arthur. British.
Arthur.
Kind of. Darville.
Arthur Darville.
But they will be replacing them with Jenna Louise Coleman.
Okay.
Who is a 25-year-old actress. The only thing that I've recognized that she has appeared in is Captain America. She was one of, I believe she was one of the two dates at the Stark Fair. And I actually have her IMDb pulled up so that I can make reference to this.
Yeah, her character's name is Connie, I think.
Yes.
I haven't seen the movie, so that means nothing to me.
Connie, which... Based on her appearance, which I will just zoom. Come on. Okay, good enough. Just kind of a generic character I don't really recognize, but just kind of...
She looks kind of like Selena Gomez.
Exactly. She's the British Selena Gomez was my belief.
I hadn't thought of that.
Here, would you like to see?
I have seen already, so...
Ah, yes.
If I didn't know any better, I would say that is Selena Gomez.
There you go. Maybe it's just the hair.
Or maybe she just has British teeth.
Yeah. Keep your mouth closed.
So that's going to be happening. I believe they did say Amy and Rory are going to be disappearing on an episode with the Silence.
Okay, so you've heard this too, because I saw that rumor posted in the comments thread of the announcement, and I was actually a little bit angry because it felt spoilery to me. But yes, as long as you brought it up, they supposedly will be making their exit during an episode with the Weeping Angels.
That's the one.
And that it has been said that not everyone will get out alive.
Yes, Stephen Moffat, one of the primary writers on the show, posted via BBC America's Twitter handle, @BBCAmerica, Amy and Rory will leave in a final encounter with the Weeping Angels in episode 5.
Okay.
There is that. Can we stop? More spoilers.
I don't understand why spoil it.
This is the one thing that I would say. It's just 5 episodes in, and what, each season is about 13 to 14?
Yeah, I think they said it's going to be 13 episodes for this next season.
So there's a good chunk. It's Amy and Rory for almost a third of the season.
Yeah.
And they'll make a good exit, as I've heard in an interview with Karen Gillan.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, too, all the speculation about this new companion, because they've said that they're not saying how she's going to be introduced, because they've said that it's going to be completely different than any other companion he's had.
Huh.
So there is speculation that maybe her character won't be human. And there's also... Huh. What was the other thing people were speculating on? Not speculation, but I read a quote in the article that someone was talking about her saying that for the first time, there will be a companion that speaks faster than the Doctor. So that will be interesting to see. I mean, they basically said she's going to be a real match for Matt Smith.
Right.
As far as the banter goes, and that she's very, you know, funny and everything, which is good.
So we're looking into the future and seeing British Gilmore Girls.
sure?
They're known for fast talking too.
True. Okay. I never really watched much of that show. Okay. But
well, anyway, enough with the spoilers.
Somebody somewhere got that.
That I don't consider to be spoilery what I said, because that was all said in the interview.
Yes.
In the press release.
Not everyone is looking at the press releases wanting to know
what is coming.
Well, the thing about her maybe not being here, that's entirely fan speculation. So that's not a spoiler. That's just discussion amongst fans.
I understand that. But I mean, yeah. Anyway.
It's done now.
But I had... my main way of watching Doctor Who has been on Netflix, and I discovered that there are a couple episodes. You know, there's that gap between 2007 and 2010 where there's like every once in a while there's a little like mini series that pops up where it's like two episodes together or something like that. I found the one that's not on Netflix.
You did?
Yes.
What one isn't?
Which one is that?
The End of the World, or The End of Time, actually, I think it was called. Okay. No.
That one is on Netflix.
That one is on Netflix.
That's on Netflix.
Excuse me. Yeah, that's not what I meant. It was Planet of the Dead.
That's right. Yeah, because there's the four, right? It was Tennant's exit. There were four in between there, and it was the other Doctor, the Water on Mars,
the next Doctor, Water.
Oh, on the Mars. Next Doctor, Water on Mars, Planet of the Dead, which isn't there, and the End of Time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Planet of the Dead is right after the next Doctor, apparently.
And for anyone who...
that one is on YouTube, actually.
Ooh, good to know.
Somebody posted it. Okay. I'm not sure how long it's going to last on there, but if you want to watch it, it's there.
Yeah. I was just going to say, for anyone who is watching Doctor Who and hasn't gotten to that point yet, be aware, David Tennant's exit is not in the regular season episodes, and you have to search separately for it on Netflix. They are the miniseries episodes, and they are not in with the rest of them. So if you're just clicking next episode every time, one episode will be Tennant, and the next episode will be Matt Smith, and you will be confused.
Yeah, I did that.
So do a separate search for Doctor Who, and Wikipedia has a good site that will show you the order of the episodes in between.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just going to say, I haven't made it that far yet, and that you just spoiled it for me, and I'm not going to watch it anymore.
You've been spoiled because you know that there's a doctor that's going to go away, and there's going to be a new doctor that's always been talked about.
Yep.
Okay.
Too much work.
Oops. Yep.
If I have to YouTube things that aren't actually in the TV show, you know,
you can skip the one that's on YouTube. Just watch the other Netflix ones. You just have to go into a separate thread.
I'll take a rain check.
It's true.
You're missing out.
Speaking of Netflix, to try to bridge this as well as we can. It's been announced that Netflix will air the exclusive horror series Hemlock Grove in early 2013, which is the brainchild of Eli Roth.
Huh.
So it's going to be another series that starts out exclusive to Netflix, much like Lilyhammer, which has already been sold. The re-airing rights have already been sold to BBC, so they're already going to put that on TV as well. And then... I can't think of his name now. Kevin Spacey has his series coming up.
Yeah.
But this one will be directed by Eli Roth, but it'll star Famke Janssen and Bill Skarsgård. And it is described as a gripping tale of murder, mystery, and monsters set in a ravaged Pennsylvania steel town. So there is going to be more new content coming exclusively to Netflix, but again, they're announcing it right at the beginning of production, to the point where we won't see it for a year. So it's just kind of...
And if we're still alive by then, of course, too.
True, if the world does not end.
Yeah.
That is true.
Though, did you see the things on Facebook where the Mayan calendar was not done according to leap year
standards? The response I've seen to that is that the really smart people who figure these things out and study the calendars have probably taken that into account. But in any case, I don't really buy into any of it. So.
Oh, no. It just makes it fun that by their standards, I guess, by their standards mixed into our standards without leap year, it's like July-ish.
Mm. Yeah, so it would have ended a number of months ago, according to that post.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Sorry, guys.
The world has already ended. The world ended.
We just ruined it for you.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, but I haven't been thinking, we had that really mild winter that was weird. It was, and then a the weird. Other night we had
so
that,
the Earth is just playing catch up at this point.
Yeah. Well, and then we had the rainstorm on Monday night where it looked like someone was power washing my neighbor's house, and
somebody was power washing my car when I was trying to drive to go get some dinner, and that was very, very scary.
Yeah. So maybe this is the preamble to
preamble
the end
to
of the world.
Apocalypse?
Yep. Yes.
That's actually happening. Is the seasons are reversing, so we are now actually in fall.
Wow!
So, yeah.
Hmm. Wow. So
get ready for those leaves.
The leaves are going to grow onto the trees, yellow and orange and red,
exactly.
And then fall immediately, and then winter is coming.
Right
so,
back.
So would that mean that the ground actually lets these leaves grow just from any flat surface on the ground.
Ooh.
So that the leaves hang out. And then all of a sudden they learn to fly, but they get too ambitious and the tree has to start catching them to save them, and they turn green.
Dan, I can tell you're a scholar in the Mayan arts. And that is exactly right. The leaves will actually morph into snow, and then we will be right back into spring. And then the world will end. And then before it even gets to one whole cycle in reverse, it'll already be over.
Okay. Wow.
Yep. Yep. Hmm. Spoiler alert.
just a night of spoilers so far.
Back to the other topic. I will say, I think it's great that they're doing new content. I haven't actually watched that first show,
Lilyhammer,
which I think you guys talked about on the podcast, right?
Yeah, we touched on it.
And you were super crazy about it. What is the Kevin Spacey one that you said something about? I would be interested in something with Kevin Spacey. I'm not a horror fan, so this new one does not appeal to me whatsoever, but
Let me remind myself.
Yeah, I haven't looked into it. All I know is that Kevin Spacey's in it, and it's gonna be on Netflix. That's what I know.
That's
Dan,
actually
what do you
enough
know?
For me. Kevin Spacey plus Netflix, that I'll watch that. Well, whatever it is.
The problem that I have with the whole concept is usually if you find out about a TV show or a show of any sort, it's midway through production and they're teasing its launch. So you're waiting a couple months. But at this point, we're waiting a year at least for a lot of these things where, I mean, announcing something this early, like Netflix wants to announce anything it can because it needs to have these partnerships to keep people on. But like a year out, something will happen. Like when DreamWorks signed that contract, a lot of their premium content won't actually appear on Netflix until like 2013, 2014.
I remember hearing about that, yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to wait for that as much as
it doesn't seem like the best marketing method to be announcing things that far in advance, but I get why they have to do that.
It works for movies because it's just a one sitting go. Mm-hmm. But for all these things, it's hours and hours of material that you'd have to sit down and watch that, you know, it works better as an episodic thing, but you can't immediately judge it on it. You have to sit there and watch all of them, and it usually falls through.
I feel like too, it would be more effective marketing for things like when they say they're talking about making new episodes of an existing show, because then you get the fan base excited, and who cares if it's a year out? The fan base is excited. Like, was the Arrested Development thing, was that a confirmed thing, or was that just
confirmed.
A rumor? Okay. Mm-hmm. Since I haven't, I'm not really into the show, I wasn't sure, but I know, I got crap about that the last time I was here, too.
Yeah, you did.
I know. But I actually saw a poll recently online that said, if Netflix were to revive another show, what would you want them to revive?
Ah.
And Firefly was losing. It was in second place behind
Rome
V, I think, or something like that. That V? I had never heard good things about. Anyway,
no way.
Yeah, it was really odd. But yeah, obviously Firefly was pretty near the top of the list. Probably went up higher than that afterwards because it was one of those help Nathan Fillion buy the rights to Firefly.
Why doesn't he just do like a Kickstarter and get it that way, because there's a Kickstarter out there where some guy's trying to buy Kickstarter on Kickstarter. He estimates it's $19 million, because the site's been valued at 18.6, so he figures with 19 he can definitely lock it down. And if
that's awesome.
The main incentive is if you throw in $10, he'll give you a free Kickstarter account.
No, this helped.
Because they're free.
Hey.
This helped Nathan Fillion buy Firefly Group, got started, because apparently Nathan Fillion supposedly had said in an interview, oh, if I had the rights to Firefly, we'd be making episodes now. And some fans got, like, jumped on this and were like, okay, we're
going to
raise the money. And they were taking pledges and everything. And then they actually had pledges for enough money. And Nathan Fillion was like, hey, guys, I'm really busy right now, but please give the money to charity. So that's what they ended up doing. But it was just this kind of like grassroots raising money to bring the show back thing. And then Nathan Fillion kind of copped out on it. And yeah, which understandably, he's got his own stuff going on right now. He's got Castle. Oh, yeah.
He's got Dr. Horrible 2.
Yes. I was so excited they posted an article about how that's going to be starting soon.
Mm-hmm.
But the headline is misleading and made me think it was actually coming out soon. And what it actually said is they're starting production on it this summer. And I was like, aw, come on.
But getting back to the original topic, so the series is called House of Cards. It's Kevin Spacey with director David Fincher, who did Fight Club and Social Network, among other things. But it explores the ruthless underside of British politics at the end of the Margaret Thatcher era. Reset against the backdrop of modern-day U.S. electoral politics. It's a one-hour drama that follows Spacey as an ambitious politician with his eye on the top job. So something that I probably won't watch.
Yeah, the concept doesn't sound amazing, but it's Kevin Spacey. I'll give it a shot.
See, I'd like to think that, but it's... I've realized that Kevin Spacey isn't enough of a draw.
Yeah.
Like, on a lot of his movies, I missed out on a lot of things because it seemed to be basically just Kevin Spacey fucking around.
Yeah.
Not in that negative way.
Right.
But it's Kevin Spacey and a bunch of nobodies. So it's essentially, here's Kevin Spacey with a, you know, fucking around.
I see your point.
Well, I love The Usual Suspects. That was fantastic.
Yes. But that had a nice cavalcade of...
That's true.
Fantastic.
There were
people in
all kinds of awesome people in that one.
That one should come up on Movie Bluff sometime when we're back to playing Movie Bluff.
Yeah.
I don't think it has, but that would be a good
one. It
hasn't yet. But I bet it'll come up now.
Now that we've been reminded.
Okay, so next story I have has nothing to do with streaming at all, but it has to do with connectivity and electronics. Where Nokia has filed a patent that would make a tattoo vibrate every time your cell phone rings.
Ah.
So it's that further integration into having your body interact directly with your phone.
That just...
Like slowly getting that matrix plug in the back of your head kind of thing.
Right.
Oh, God.
Or the implant in your arm that's a watch or something like that.
Something creepy like that. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because it's weird. And, okay, it says you'd be tattooing, stamping, or spraying this thermomagnetic material onto skin or a fingernail and linking it to your mobile device somehow.
Not acceptable for people with implants.
Yeah.
That's me.
It would be weird, A, to the, you know, concept of it, the first... feeling of it, because people already have that phantom vibration syndrome.
That's what I was gonna say.
But then it's also, where would people put it? Because I mean, there are some places where you probably wouldn't feel a vibration, but other places where people are gross, and I don't want to keep talking about this topic anymore.
Not sure if text message or just muscle twitch.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and then there are some places where it's actually dangerous to have vibration on your body. Like if you have vibration too near your heart,
it could throw off the rhythm.
It can throw off the rhythm of your heart. Mm. If you have it in your neck, like they say, back massagers and things, you're not supposed to use on your neck because it can cause blood clots.
Wow.
And cause a stroke.
Well, that's freaky and scary.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I wonder what the...
Spoiler alert.
You will die of a blood clot when you use your back massager on your neck. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder what the side effects from this tattoo are going to be. Because you know, like... There's got to be something. So I'm trying to think, like...
Well, what if somebody could hack your tattoo?
Ooh.
And make it vibrate constantly?
Ooh, prank.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's do it.
Somebody's going to get it somewhere where somebody else... It's going to turn into like Saw 17. You have to make sure you answer the phone before it rings or you die.
Or because, you'll vibrate off the shelf and fall to your death.
Oh, technology is so it's
probably
sometimes.
Really bad that I kind of wish there was another woman in the room right now.
No, that's why I started out with that and I said, that's gross and we should move away from it.
Yeah, well, the concept, what you said about hacking it and making it ring all the time, I was like...
They have underwear that does
that. That goes different places, but there's no one that I can really react to about that without it being really awkward.
Exactly. Because, I mean, you know, those will be the pervy guys who get it too.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a lot of those. But at the same time, I'd have to say...
Or it goes back to our conversation from last time.
Oh, boy.
Okay, we definitely need to get off this topic right now.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Bottom line, I don't think it's going to catch on.
I hope not.
They're
crashing.
If I may have the floor really quickly, I just would like to say that I think that I'm actually for this. Because there are some people who could actually use this. Particularly people who need... Oh, I don't know, 8 alarms to wake up in the morning.
Oh.
Think of it like that. I'm sure there's a setting you can do where I won't have to hear my sister's alarm for 5 hours before she wakes up because it takes her so long.
That is an interesting point. I had a roommate in college who got really pissed at me because I would hit the snooze on my alarm 8 times and... I hadn't thought about it as something that would bother someone until one day she like started yelling at me about it. And I was like, I'm sorry. It didn't even occur to me.
What happens is the snooze button is like the gateway drug. The more you press it, you're just going to keep postponing that alarm. I never use it. And like, honestly, it just bugs me.
I can't wake straight up. I have to use the snooze because my brain needs that time and my body needs that time to adjust. If I try to get right up out of bed, I will feel ill.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I mostly just use my phone. I use my alarm clock and then I use my phone. And usually my unconscious mind will just switch off the alarm. It won't even hit the snooze. Mm-hmm. It'll just switch off the alarm clock. And then... The way that the alarm works on my phone, all you have to do is tap the screen to get it to snooze for another 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And to turn off that alarm, you have to drag your finger across the screen. So it's so easy to just go boop and back to sleep.
Yeah. I actually have 3 separate alarms set on my phone to go off at like 15 minutes apart just in case I do turn one of them off.
Right.
See, I wake up before my alarm. I think my spirit has finally been broken to the point where it's just like, I know I'm going to have to get up eventually. I mean, at least there's that shred of dignity in being able to wake up right before your alarm and get up and turn it off before it goes off.
That is fantastic. That's like, happened to me like twice in my life.
I have a CD player on the top of mine, so you hear the motor start to whir.
It's a
race out of bed to see if you can get there before the first note and flick it off and immediately go turn on the shower and get back into bed because...
That's incentive.
Yeah. See, not as hard when your hand is buzzing. Like, that would wake you right up.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's true. You'd be like, stop.
Yeah. It's also how vigorous could it really be if it's this little thing that's sprayed on?
Yeah.
It might just be like a tingle.
What if it was really vigorous? What if it was like earthquake contained within your arm vigorous? Like, your arm flailing about like,
You like accidentally break like Muppet your bed arms. Or something.
You're in the middle of a meeting and you forgot to turn your cell phone off and you hit yourself in the face with something.
Oh.
Or the person next to you.
Yeah.
Or your boss.
Exactly.
Right. But I'm going to sneak this in because we're running low on news time. But in the same vein of Louis C.K. and Jim Gaffigan, Aziz Ansari has already released a new $5 comedy special that's available online where you stream it or you can buy a DRM-free copy. So much like how Louis C.K. sold his special for $5 a pop and made $1 million in, what, like 2 weeks or less. And Jim Gaffigan is in the process of doing this. Now Aziz Ansari has followed the same concept and is doing independent $5 comedy special.
Awesome.
I remembering who he is correctly? Was he an intern on Scrubs and then he was in the Guild?
He's in
or am I thinking of someone else?
He was on Scrubs. He was kind of in that second class.
Yeah.
He was the one who had the trivia obsession.
Yeah, who was always on his phone and finally got fired for it.
Okay. Yes.
That's what I thought.
He was also on Parks and Recreation.
Which I haven't watched yet, but I should because I know someone who appeared on it recently.
Cool.
Cool.
What is that movie? Is 60 Seconds or Less, or what is it?
30 Minutes or Less.
30 Minutes or Less, that one.
He was also in that?
Yep. Yep.
I actually really didn't like him in Scrubs, but I trust that part of that was just the character he was playing and not himself.
He has a really good stand-up scene. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Is there more news?
Yes, there's actually a lot more news, we are not going to get to all of it.
Oh, okay.
Because time is quickly... made it pretty far. I'm just going to do a couple shout-out pieces of news that can make people feel very topical at work. Today is Twitter's 6th birthday. It's been 6 years already since Twitter's been around.
Happy birthday.
And they are reporting 140 million active Twitter users. So it has gone, according to the media, mainstream. So there's that.
Yeah. That's close to half the population of the U.S.
Yeah.
A couple other things to throw out there. The Beatles' Yellow Submarine is being restored in 4x HD. They're calling it 4K resolution at this point. But they will be releasing it on remastered on Blu-ray and DVD on May 29th, as well as a remastered copy of this soundtrack album by the Beatles. So if you want to see really crazy, trippy art in really, 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 really high def, there you go.
Wow.
But I think it's one of the first things that they're working to purposely release in 4K resolution, so there's that. So
yeah,
Blu-ray is already slowly becoming obsolete. And the last thing I was going to mention is Beats, the company that makes headphones for Dr. Dre and a couple other people. Beats is buying Moog. If you can recall, Moog is a competitor with Spotify and Pandora, where you have the on-demand music for a subscription fee. It's kind of gone under the radar because it was working independently as Moog. But now, hopefully, with the Beats company behind it, they can make it more of a direct competitor with Spotify.
Huh. Moog came pre-installed on my new phone.
Yes.
I actually had one other thing I wanted to mention, speaking of anniversaries, is another thing mentioned in the Doctor Who article earlier about the new companion.
Spoiler.
And this isn't a spoiler, but they did mention that I believe they said this upcoming season will mark the 50th anniversary of the first season.
Ooh.
So they're expecting big things and planning big things in honor of that anniversary.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Something to look forward to.
Yes.
But
in a few months, unfortunately. Yes.
Well, better than next year, like Eli Roth's horror show that none of us will watch.
True.
Mumble, mumble, mumble. But we're already knee deep into the show, so I think it's just about time that we break out
the Leonard Maltin game.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a special Leonard Maltin game. First, based on the fact that both Andrew and Jen had expressed interest in the Leonard Maltin game when appearing on the show, having done research for our show and having never been able to play it. And also, I've tailored all of the answers to the point where they are available on Netflix or Crackle. So people can stream every single one of these movies. Most if you have the Netflix subscription, a couple for free on Crackle.com. So
excellent.
I did kind of give a teaser to you guys beforehand and said do as much research as you can. So we will see how well this works.
So Andrew, how much research did you do? Just checking out my competition here.
I can't even express in megabytes how many
awesome.
How many things. Just if you were to open my laptop and look at my recently viewed IMDb pages.
Oh dear.
You would be scrolling.
Oh, good, IMDb.
I'd like to touch all bases.
Okay.
That was what I was afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I spent 30 minutes on Netflix this afternoon, because that's all the time that I had, hovering over movies and saying out loud to myself the title and the year of any movie I was vaguely familiar with. But unfortunately, it only lists the first two billed, so yeah. That's not going to help me a whole heck of a lot unless it's obvious from the review. However, I did go on Crackle, and I managed to quickly scroll through
all 287
movies on Crackle and hover over the few that I recognized.
Yeah, which that's what they're good for. Okay, so we are going to be as official about this as possible as I... Okay, we're going to have to do it this way.
You start with the incantation, of course.
No. We did that before the show. I did that as soon as I got home to be safe.
We're going to flip a bottle cap.
We're
going to
flip a coin to see... It's a coin.
Oh, it's a coin.
Oh, right, awesome, of course. Studio.
A bottle cap. Bottle cap shaped coin.
Yes. So we are going to say local or not. So we'll go with the grain belt side as local and the inside as not. And Jen, you get to pick. Local or not?
Local.
It is not.
All right.
So Andrew, you will get to start, and we always start going clockwise. So, your three categories you get to choose from are Netflix new releases. These are movies that are either new releases that are on Netflix or recently added to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
March 21st, birthdays. There are a couple famous actors with birthdays today. And so, any movie that they start in, either on Netflix or Crackle.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's been really nice and warm, as the minds have predicted. So... Unseasonable warmth. Every movie in this category has hot in the title.
Ooh. Interesting.
I'll have to go with that last one about unseasonable hot. Warmth.
Unseasonable warmth. Your 3 years are 1993, 2001, or 2010.
Oh, we'll do 2010.
2010, okay. Leonard Maltin gave this movie 2 stars. It refers to it as a funny idea. And a lot of gross out humor. Frenetic pace. Generally sleazy production. It's a clever premise, but doesn't meet its potential. It calls one of the actors a standout, but the others struggle for laughs that aren't there. Calls it a great title. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10 names.
I'll do 10.
10 names. Adam, it goes to you next.
Oh, let's say 9.
9. Jen?
I'm going to be super bold here and go on a hunch and say 0 names.
0 names. Andrew, can you do it in negative one names?
Jen, you're going to have to name that movie.
Hot Tub Time Machine?
It is Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, yes.
Figured out the category right away. Hot is in the title.
Nice.
Yes.
Why didn't I think of that one?
Because it's one of those things where you like want to listen to the review, and it kind of it takes you out of the category usually, unless it's 0 names.
Yes, and also all I could think about was, is this category going to come up again?
It could.
Okay, then I better shut my face.
I mean, I have enough to do this round and a bonus round if we really need to.
Cool.
I came up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 categories with at least 3 movies in each.
Wow.
Unique movies in each. So, Jen, you have the first point.
Yes.
We play the 3, of course. Andrew, you get to choose again, and I will try to give you different categories this time.
Yes, let's spice it up.
So, I will... First category for you is who? Every movie in this category has one of the main characters' names in the title. There is Dan's Netflix Instant Queue. So I just picked 5 movies that are currently in my Instant Queue that are just of my flavor of movie that I thought would be good. And I can also say that according to Leonard Maltin, they're also all above, or they're 3 stars and above. So good movies.
Oh, man. You can stop right there because that's the category I want.
Well, the other one I'm just going to tell you, just to bring it up, because it's going to come up.
We'll continue.
Is Boondock Saints, which...
okay.
Which is a favorite group, or a favorite category for Emily, because she always just thinks things are Boondock Saints.
Yes.
So it's movies starring people from Boondock Saints that are available on Netflix and Crackle.
Well, while that's really tempting, I'm going to stick with my original answer, and I'll do the dance cue.
All right. Your three choices are 1986, 1996, or 2001.
Let's go 2001.
2001. Leonard Maltin gave this movie 3 stars. It's cleverly plotted, mostly believable. It's a bit heavy-handed at times. Refers to it as a yarn. And he refers to one of the characters as charismatic and highly persuasive. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 names.
I'm going to say 8.
8. It actually goes to Jen this time. That's right. We go other direction.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I caught myself right away. 8.
7 names.
Oh, can I hear the review one more time?
Sure. Cleverly plotted. 2001.
Yep.
3 stars.
Yep.
It's in my queue.
Yep.
Cleverly plotted, mostly believable, bit heavy-handed at times. One of the characters is listed as charismatic and highly persuasive. And it's, Jen said 7, so it's 6 or less or name.
I'm going to go with 6.
6. Andrew, to you.
Name that movie.
All right. So you get 6 names.
Okay.
6 names. All right. This will be interesting. It's Ned Bellamy, Nate Dushku, Yi Ji Tso, Chung Runyon, Richard Roundtree, and Douglas McFerrin.
Dodged a bullet with this one, I think.
I think you would have had a better chance.
With the one more name?
One more name would have helped if you knew what I was talking about.
Okay. I'm going to make a wild stab in the dark and say Ocean's 12.
No, Ocean's 12 had not been made then.
Oh, okay.
2001. What if I added Tim Robbins? 2001 Tim Robbins film.
Tim Robbins.
With him as fourth build.
Fourth build. Ooh.
How about Claire Forlani?
I don't know who that is.
I know who that is.
Of Mallrats fame, among other things.
Okay.
Rachel Lee Cook as second build.
No, I don't think I know this movie.
Ryan Phillippe as top build.
No, I would have been screwed either way.
Antitrust.
Oh, wow. Not a clue.
Yeah, that's...
Wow.
No.
It's the...
Wow. Out of my realm.
Interpretation of Microsoft when they were having their antitrust issues, and they made Tim Robbins the equivalent.
Now that you mention it, I do recall seeing the title in my browsing of Netflix today. However, that didn't help me a whole lot.
It did not. So, Andrew, you got the point on that one.
Awesome.
For correctly opting out at the right time. So, Jen, you have a point. Andrew, you have a point. Adam, yet to score, but, you know, we'll hopefully it'll come back around to
it's
you.
It's okay. I'm a trooper.
Yeah, stick to your guns.
Yes. Jen, you get to pick.
Yay.
And I have at least, well, I have 2 new categories I can give you, but we'll do a repeat on the third. The first one is Will Ferrell's Crackle.com. So these are 3 movies that Will Ferrell stars in that are all on Crackle.com.
Okay.
0 names. So this is where I read the entire review, and the opening bid has to be at least 0 names, if not immediately negative names.
Right.
And I am going to bring back Boondock Saints.
I think I have to go 0 names on this one.
I love 0 names.
It's nice to break out from time to time.
I yell at... in my car a lot at 0 names, so hopefully this will be one that
this will help.
Would be a yelling one.
Your 3 choices are 1993, 1997, or 1998. All of these available on Netflix and Crackle.
I'm going to go 1997.
This movie was given 3 stars by Leonard Maltin, 1997. 4 working class friends hanging out together in South Boston, but one of them... Pugnacious Will Hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yes.
Has an unusual gift. He's a genius. When MIT math professor Skarsgård gets wind of this, he insists that the young man stop wasting his talents and sends him to psychologist/teacher Williams, who tries to crack his brittle shell. Well, acted fiction written by co-stars Damon and Ben Affleck doesn't bear any scrutiny, but certainly entertains with an array of good performances. Oscar nods for Best Original Screenplay and Best Supporting Actor to Williams. And there are 2, 4, 6, 7 names. And so the opening bid is 0 at least. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the movie. I'm not very confident about the order that they are billed in.
We're playing top down, right?
Top down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
I'll have to start with 0.
0. Okay. Andrew, how about you?
I can confidently say -1.
-1. Adam, can you do -2 at least?
I'm going to try for -2.
-2. Jenna, are you...
Adam, name that movie and those okay. 2 stars.
It's Good Will Hunting.
It is.
And I'm going to say Matt Damon is top billed.
He is.
And Ben Affleck is #2.
You are wrong.
Oh!
Is Robin Williams #2?
He is.
That was, yes.
Oh, okay. Bummer.
That was going to be my guess.
Oh, well. Because that's how Robin Williams got the Best Supporting Actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
Is Affleck 3 or is...
He is.
And then Minnie Driver after that?
Yes.
Okay. See, it was the order of the top two. That yeah. I figured Robbins probably was not first since it was supporting, but
right.
I was not confident enough to...
Well, you'd think since like Affleck had some involvement in their writing process. Like,
but he wouldn't give himself second.
No, his character wasn't as
prominent.
It wasn't that primary.
See, if I would have done it, I would have put Minnie before Ben Affleck.
That's what I wondered about, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's Leonard Maltin for you. So, Jen, you have 2 points.
Yes.
Andrew, you have 1 point. Adam, yet to score. And Andrew, you get to pick again.
Awesome.
I like this game.
This off the list. And I am going to give you Will Ferrell's Crackle.com, Who, and March 21st birthdays.
Let's do Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell's Crackle.com. Your 3 years are 1999, 2006... Or 2006?
2006.
I have no idea which one that is, 1 or 2.
The first one.
First one, okay.
Oh, I thought it was the second one.
Who knows?
I've changed my mind.
Leonard Maltin gives this movie 2 stars. Calls it silly. Keeps hitting the same notes. There was an alternate unrated version that runs almost 15 minutes longer than the actual movie itself. And calls it a broad comedy that has a following.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 names.
Mm-hmm. I'll do 0.
0.
Mm-hmm.
Janet goes to you.
Name that movie.
Is it Anchorman?
It is not.
Oh
yeah. Anchorman came out before that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I couldn't remember.
My guess probably would have been Old School.
No.
That was before too.
Yeah, see if it was
second guess.
There's one particular one I would have known right away. Other than that, I'm kind of screwed when it comes to Will Ferrell.
Step Brothers?
No.
That was in 09. I think it's either Semi Pro?
No.
Nope.
Talladega Nights?
Yes, there it is.
That one.
Wow.
It has a following.
I completely forgot
NASCAR.
About that movie.
Oh, Len.
Cripes.
So that actually knocked it out nice and easy because Jen is our winner with 3 points.
Wow.
Hey.
Awesome.
You just saw that coming.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And hooray. We are actually...
I failed.
Sorry, Adam.
That's okay. I give myself a point for effort.
Under, yeah.
Well, let's get back to, Jim Carrey and racism and all that fun stuff.
Well, I actually...
bring up your topic.
Yeah.
Let's test market this thing.
Yeah. I was talking to one of my coworkers, Megan, at work today, and she was telling me about...
Hi, Megan.
Yes, hello, Megan. We were talking about what's the show? It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Mm. And I asked her, is it on Netflix?
Nope.
And that I realized that whenever someone tells me about a TV show, that is always my first question. Mm-hmm. Because it's because of the accessibility of Netflix. Mm. It's mm. I can go on, I can watch it if it's there. But if it's not, then I probably won't put the effort in.
You know, I can actually, I have an interesting jumping off point on this, to the point where I sat at my desk for a good 20 minutes today debating, should I get Dish Network or not?
Hmm.
Just knowing that there's enough entertainment out there that, you know, I can sit at Netflix and just go ho-hum, I guess I'm going to watch this again because I don't expand out into anything new in Netflix because that which is still available isn't fast, new, and exciting to me, or doesn't scream out at me compared to, oh, you know, I could flip through X amount of channels and have this available, so should I invest in Dish instead?
Ah, I see.
Well, the answer is no.
that's what happened. Nope, not there. But it's just that idea of itemizing like a $50 a month purchase by just seeing icons of different channels and being like, realistically, will I watch that much Food Network?
Yeah. I be available at 8 o'clock for this show I want? That's kind of my problem since I have a night job. It's like, I'm not awake then. I'm nocturnal.
Well, the big thing about Dish Network, DirecTV, all those things, DVR is really big.
Oh, yeah.
Especially to the point where the new thing that Dish just came out with, which was actually the reason why I debated this, it's called the Hopper, I think. Yeah, the Hopper, where like there's a full-size box that goes with your primary TV, that's your DVR and everything. 2 terabyte DVR. So,
wow. That's massive.
Insanely huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has little like sub boxes that are they're smaller than the width of a dollar bill. Like it's like my Apple TV essentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's another box for another TV. And it has that function where you can go from watching something on one TV and hitting one button and sending it to another TV.
Mm-hmm.
And just that convenience of, I'm too tired to stay out in the living room, I'm going to switch it to my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And then just, you know, call it a night. And
that's kind of cool.
Access, yeah, all that is kind of cool.
But at the same time, it's just like, I don't know if I'd watch $50 worth of entertainment a month to really make this worth it.
Yeah, I have the similar thing because I do tend to always watch the same stuff on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a massive queue of stuff that I should watch on Netflix that I haven't gotten to yet. And it's not because it doesn't appeal to me. It's because I'm usually multitasking and it's stuff I want to give my full attention to.
Right.
And I would have the same problem with anything on Dish Network. Like right now, I'm going to Paris in April. And I asked for all these movie suggestions about Paris because I thought it would be cool to watch a bunch of movies about Paris.
I contributed to that list.
Yes, you did. And yours are on my in my queue, either my disc queue or my instant queue, depending. Mm. But I haven't watched any of them yet. I've had the disc of Amelie for a week and a half, but I haven't had time to sit down and watch it.
You haven't watched that one?
Good.
No.
That one's cute.
I'll definitely be getting to... I'll be getting to Midnight in Paris for sure.
It's a good one.
Parisian
Tem?
Yes, that one is high up on my list as well. But good. I think that one is also only available on DVD.
Yes.
Which I do still have a disc subscription through Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get it. I think that one was next on the list under Amelie.
Hmm. I didn't know about this Hopper thing, but if you're going to get it, if you're going to get Dish, that's the way to go. But
you have to have the... At this point, any person, I imagine, should automatically go to DVR immediately. It's not start out and then get it.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that... I mean, the reason that most people don't have TV is they don't have time for TV.
Yeah.
Most commonly. I don't know anyone. Feel free to jump in and naysay if you need to or want to.
One thing that would bug me is I can't remember if it's Xfinity or Dish that dropped IFC or... do you remember that whole thing where they went through and they stopped...
See, the thing, I work for a telecom company, so every now and then I catch wind of stuff. And most of the time, Dish Network has problems with the local networks and having them re-up because most of them want more money because they think they're that important and they deserve that much more, and usually they don't.
Yeah. That's just what would bug me. Like, there's so many shows on there, and then, you know, either way.
I just have an interesting side note about DVR that I heard about on another podcast that I listened to. Someone was on there that something in law was involved in a show, and the people mentioned they had it in their DVR recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that apparently, as far as ratings go and viewers go, it only counts toward the viewer. Are you the one who brought this up? Did I hear it on this podcast? Okay,
yep,
never mind.
You did. Yep. You have to watch
that
all...
That happens to me in real life, too, but that's never happened to me on a podcast
there
before.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's like, it's, wow, telling this is
people their own stories.
Sounding familiar.
Yeah. Wait. Just to re-emphasize that point, because it is important. When you record a show on your DVR... you have to watch it all the way through with the commercials for it to count towards ratings. So if you have a favorite show that you record every week, watch the commercials, and that's the best way to support it. So don't fast forward, as tempting as it may be.
Yeah, I just brought it up as a reminder. Really, yes. I knew that this is where I heard it. I just thought I'd remind people.
Yeah, but you know, kind of going back to what I was talking about. Have you guys had that conversation before, where you're like, "Is it on Netflix?" And if so, what shows were you talking about and stuff like that?
I really never get bored with Netflix. Like, that's the thing. Like, I have that. That queue, those movies in my queue that that I've been meaning to watch and I don't, but there's also a lot of stuff on there you can just put on and multitask, you know?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, like just earlier we were watching Hey Arnold, and you know, that's just the kind of show I can put that on, just background stuff I like.
Get that smooth jazz in the background.
To what you're saying, Adam, I do occasionally have that when people are telling me about TV shows. I think the most recent was Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, is that on Netflix? No? Darn it. Which, luckily, my boyfriend can stream them through something else on his stuff. So I've watched the first season of it recently.
Well, what's that called?
Roku?
It's something that plugs into a TV box.
I don't know.
Is it a dongle?
You know, it actually may be that he... I don't know how we're watching it, but we're watching it on his TV, and I'm happy about it. He said I think we're almost to the end of season one.
Cool.
So, yay, loving it. But also, it tends to happen to me more often when I recommend shows to other people, because there are a lot of shows I really love that are not on Netflix. I think the biggest two are 6 Feet Under, which I recently was in such a mood for that I pulled out all 5 seasons on DVD and watched them, which I haven't done with anything in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Veronica Mars is the other big one that I highly recommend, but is not on Netflix. So people don't usually end up getting around to it unless I force the DVDs into their hands.
Right.
I'm just the opposite, because I will always recommend things I've been watching on Netflix. I'm like, oh, man.
See, most of my friends do that, which is why I'm not often put in a position of asking, is that on Netflix? Because usually my friends will start the conversation with, so I've been watching Downton Abbey on Netflix. Or, you know, so usually I'm not put in a position of having to ask if it's there, because it is. That's why they're telling me about it.
Right.
Like that.
But there are just certain shows that I love that when they happen to come up in conversation, I'm put in the position of having to inform them that it is not in fact on Netflix.
Right.
And then knowing that they probably won't watch it, because that's what people do now, is stream things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I've also, there's also that whole, oh man, only the first 3 seasons of the 5 are on Netflix.
I'm still pissed about Reboot. Yes. Damn it.
Yeah. And, The Walking Dead season 2 just finished up. I hope that makes it onto Netflix soon so I can watch it.
AMC is good about putting stuff up fast.
Yeah.
But I'm usually the person who's on the side of the conversation. I'm not the recipient of, you know, here's what's on Netflix. I'm not the person who's telling people what's on Netflix, because usually, I watch a lot of stuff, but usually I'm just kind of off in my own little world. So I can just chime in and say, yes, I've started watching Doctor Who. Yes, that is an interesting show. But it's just like, I can't give a recommendation because I got that from everyone here. So how can I recommend that to everyone
I run
here?
Into a similar problem, too. It tends to be the stuff that I'm watching. I'm watching because everyone around me watched it first. And now I'm just in a position where I can be like, so I finally started watching this. But I'm only to this point, so don't spoil anything.
Right.
I'm going to let you in on a secret. Here's what you do. I've talked before about my love for the random word generator, of course. Random. Now, what you do, get a random word, take it to Netflix. Just type in Frosty, see what you find. Look around, 5 minutes of like a children's movie, and see what you think. Then dump it, and move on. Keep going until you find something you like.
If you're bored and you don't have any specific thing you feel like watching.
Mm-hmm. I have so many go-tos.
But all my go-tos I've seen before. Sometimes I'm in a mood where I'm just not sure what I feel like watching. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting
point. And that answer is always Angry Beavers. Yes. If you just don't know what to watch, you watch Angry Beavers.
You do.
Or How I Met Your Mother.
I bounced around for a long time between Star Trek and a bunch of other things. And then I discovered Doctor Who, and it's just been... Boom! Doctor Who, the whole way. Just nothing but. And yeah, for me, actually, that is one of the shows that I kind of multitask to as well. Because a lot of the fun of it is straight in the dialogue. You don't necessarily have to be watching what's going on screen, especially with the special effects in the... earlier part of the new series not being as awesome as they could be. But... Yeah, I mean, but also not to knock the makeup jobs that they do on that show. Those are so cool, and some of the aliens and stuff like that. So,
Just off topic again, sort of, but something else that I saw recently that used to be on Netflix, apparently, but is not anymore. Adam, you would probably appreciate and probably have seen Gamers Dorkness Rising, fan made, I believe, about D&D.
Ooh.
Where it goes back and forth between the player drama and the like in-game drama. They all dress as their characters and fight things, and it's hysterical. I watched it over the weekend, and my understanding is that it's available online. It's no longer on Netflix, but you can find it online and watch it. And for anyone else who is a gamer, for anyone who doesn't know, Adam and I are in a D&D group together. That's why I thought of it. But it's quite funny.
See, that's why you got to give Netflix credit, because they always just tuck a little gem under there, and you won't even like come across it until like, you know, I don't even know how their algorithm works, that how they come up with like suggestions and stuff, because sometimes I'll go through this whole suggestion and just be like, oh, this is all nothing I'd be interested in. And I just
always hit and miss.
Yeah,
that's true. As far as the suggestions go, definitely very hit and miss.
For sure. Yeah. Well, that just about wraps it up for this episode. We're getting into the twilight hours of the podcast for this week. So, let's wrap things up. Always, you can find us on the
Start with them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jen, you won. Do you have anything to plug that's coming up?
That's true. I know I mentioned the last time I was on, and it came up earlier. I'm in a Renaissance Festival singing group called De Cantus. We have nothing. We're choosing our music for the season right now. And I would say send me suggestions if you have any, but it'll probably be too late because I think we're finalizing next Tuesday. But if you do and you want to tweet them to me, I am Jen J Hart on Twitter. But our website is www.decantus.com. And we have 4 CDs available. 2 of them have been recorded recently, and I actually appear on. The other 2 are older CDs and actually cost less. And we also do digital downloads of the new CDs.
Cool. So
check us out. And there's samples, I believe, of all the tracks on there as well.
Nice. That is excellent. And Andrew, do you have anything to plug?
Well, you guys know me. I always got my finger in something, so I can... you know,
one last innuendo to slip into the podcast.
Yeah, why not?
just slip it in there. Go on.
Why not just yeah. So yeah, you know, this summer, of course, I will be. You can catch me at open mic at Acme. I'll be there on Monday nights once I get some more material worked out
and sleep.
And sleep, apparently vital. And then, you know, I've got some other cool stuff coming out pretty soon. I'm not really allowed to talk about it. There's like a, you know, there's a whole society and guild, if you will, involved in it. Can't really touch on it yet. All I can say for right now is that the hipster gods have ordained me to do something on this earth. And that's all I can say.
Whoa, that sounds
usually they probably would have found a savior earlier, but it took them a while.
Yeah, you know hipsters. Intense. You know hipsters. They're just like off the cuff.
They'll get around to it.
If there's a problem, they're going to wait till the last possible second. So, and that's pretty much where I come in. So, yeah.
Hey.
In league with the Mayans?
In league with the Illuminati, the Mayans, the Spanish conquistadors... Ben and Jerry's was in on it. they're working on some flavor that just, you know, hipsters will just eat it by the pail. I don't know what it is.
Something. If only you could,
irony crunch.
Yeah, irony crunch.
Sorry, I just realized I probably should have spelled out my Twitter name.
I was wondering that, but people can also find it through ours as well, which I was going to plug later to try to help. So go ahead.
JENNJHART.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, not the real heart, is it?
Yeah, I suddenly thought about it, and I was like, there's many ways that people could spell that wrong.
Well, I'm on Twitter, too.
Maybe you should share your Twitter name.
Well,
handle?
If you're so insistent, I persistent.
I guess.
It's vitamins 3.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Oh, yeah. Now remind me, is it 3 as in number or 3 as in spelled out?
The number, 3. Number.
Okay. There we go.
And that's where the random word generator came into the previous conversation,
it
correct?
It is.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Random now I remember. Words. Cool. And for our dear podcast, I would like to say what?
Dan I have is stuff raving too. His hands. The person who closes it out it out, you know?
Okay, yeah, I suppose.
I count 2 sometimes.
Yeah, All right. Sorry, Dan. Please.
Because I'm actually starting to use my Twitter account, which is Dan L. Whelan, Whelan. A couple things to plug that I'm going to be doing is really more watching than performing right now, but I'm going to go see Doug Benson do Doug Loves Movies, taping on the 31st at Acme Comedy Club. I recommend people check it out. I think tickets were somewhere in the ballpark of $17, so reasonable for at least 4 comedians. It's funny and well worth it, and it's like an afternoon kind of thing. It starts at 4:20 or more like 4:30. But it's a very funny time and definitely worth it. Something to check out. And they have, Sticks restaurant there too. Mm. Good food. And the other thing I'm going to be checking out is at New Hope Cinema Grill, which I've plugged before with Wendy Mayberry, going on April 7th to see Wild Bill Bauer. And he has a really great clip on YouTube. Type in Uncle Arnie and Wild Bill Bauer, and it's a great listen. And other than that, I think that's almost everything. But Jen, you're raising your hand again.
Yes.
What else
did
you forget?
No, speaking of things we're going to see, I have something that's actually somewhat related to Buffering. There is a one-man show called Underneath the Lintel, which I saw at the Fringe Festival a couple of years ago. It's fantastic. It's a one-man show performed by Patrick O'Brien, who played Mr. Dewey on Saved by the Bell, which is a newly added show on Netflix. But it's a brilliant show. I don't know all of the dates it's running, but I know it's running the last weekend of this month, and there are half price tickets available on goldstar.com. But it's about a librarian who finds a book that has been dropped in the overnight slot that is 100 years overdue, and he becomes obsessed with solving the mystery of who checked out this book and who returned the book, and it's amazing.
Wow. Where is it?
Oh, gosh. I unfortunately do not remember where it's being performed, but it's called Underneath the Lintel, and I'm sure if you do a Google search, it will come up. But it's a fantastic show.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
I really like the idea that you've just pitched to me. So, very cool.
One more.
Yes. Oh.
I'll just tack this on really quick. My friend Paul F. Tompkins has a special coming out in April, the day after 420, on Comedy Central. Tune in. Yeah.
Awesome. Very good. Anyone else going to raise their hand?
Jump in again.
Okay. Sorry, I've just got this list in front of me of things that I... But anyway, the one thing that I wanted to do as a personal plug was the next week, the Unit Collective, which is a group of playwrights of color here in the Twin Cities, are doing their monthly madness next Tuesday, the 27th of March. And it's going to start at about 7:30. And I mentioned it last week. Brief synopsis. It's the playwrights all write a 10-minute play. They give it to their actors, who rehearse it for a half hour the same night that they perform it. They go up and perform it in front of a live audience. And it's so amazing. There's so much incredible intellectual beauty and comedy that comes out of it it's just so fun. It's just this great spontaneous thing to get into, and it's over at the Playwrights Center, which is off it's right on Franklin, up kind of in the Seward neighborhood. So definitely go check that out. It's a lot of fun, and work willing, I will be there.
and so. a special note to our listeners: Adam is white.
Yeah.
You said playwrights of color. I just wanted to, you know, clarify to bring that racism back that we started with at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Bring it
in
full circle.
Yeah. And I'm just helping you wrap up the episode.
Okay. Okay. And my white self is also on Twitter at @ADAMERDMANN, Adam Erdman. And also for our beloved podcast, I would also like to make to bookend the episode by saying that we are on bufferingpodcast.com. There you can find the episodes and bonus content. We're also on iTunes, where you can find the Buffering Podcast. You can find me and Dan and any one of our guests on iTunes just by searching for their names, and you'll find the podcast that way and whatever else our awesome guests are involved in on iTunes. And also, you can find the Buffering Podcast on Twitter at BufferBodPodcast.
Yeah. Go to the beach.
Check out our Bodycast podcast.
Because we fell off of a roller coaster.
Yeah. And you can also... Bodycast. Holy crap.
Ah, oh, there it goes. It landed. Oh. Bodycast.
Oh. Bodycast, yes.
I prefer a good vodcast, if you know what I mean.
Hey-o. And you can also find us on Facebook at the Frank Oz Memorial Studio. He's not dead, he's...
Awesome.
That's right.
And he's out in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Holy crap, he is?
His studio is.
Well, yeah, his studio is, but if Frank Oz was in...
Well, he's awesome, and he's in Minneapolis in spirit.
Right. Mm. But not dead.
No.
Just awesome. Anyway.
It's not like it's spirit, but it's spirit.
Yes. Kind of thing. Yes. More.
You might see some Muppets just roaming right around Minneapolis.
Are there spirit fingers? Little Muppety spirit fingers?
Yeah, that's all it would have to be.
Yeah.
Just a loose fraggle. Felt. A little fraggle here and there.
Rolf. Just playing the piano somewhere. Some piano bar in uptown or downtown.
Nice.
I don't know.
Giving him a plug?
I'd love to see that. Yeah.
Performing at Dueling Pianos or whatever that's called. Dueling, yeah. Dueling
Rolf. Yeah. Rolf at the Shout House in downtown Minneapolis.
That's what it is.
I would totally go to that. I'd be there in a heartbeat.
Oh.
Okay. I know there's one more.
Anyway, yes. And I also should say, I should definitely also say that our show is now on Stitcher, and you can listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. So there you have it. That just about wraps things up for this evening.
I was going to say, make sure to listen to our bonus tracks for our mic check, as well as a post-episode Leonard Maltin game.
Yes, indeed. All right. So, thank you so much for listening, and we bid you farewell for this week.
Adieu.
Peace.
Bye.